Lord, I'm going to be singing. It gets me through. So a lot of times I do that. I'm not sure why I got placed here today. I really searched myself a lot. And it's very personal for me. So I'm going to try to give this message to everyone, but I have to tell you that it really affected me personally. I did a lot of research. I took a kind of like a book report, and I really started diving into things, and I went down about 28 rabbit holes, and I thought, man, this is going to be a long sermon, and they're not going to want me back. So sometimes God, he takes us out of our comfort zone, and that helps us grow as Christians. Sometimes we don't like that process at all, do we? Sometimes it's painful. And sometimes we realize that we don't like ourselves. Not that much, including our appearance, right? So you see that I got my hair done. You see that I got my nails did. And I dressed up a little bit. I had high heels on earlier, but that just didn't happen. So sometimes you just got to be you, how God made you, right? So what we see in the mirror after taking a good, hard look, it's then that we realize there's needs that need to, things need to happen, and we need to make some changes. Either our appearance or inside of us. And that calls us to an action, my friends. That forces us to move and do. Remember we got the kazoos and I was telling you to do? There was a reason for that. So now every time you see a kazoo, you're going to be like, I need to be doing something, right? That's what the purpose was. We need to take inventory of those things and we feel are not desirable and create a plan of action in order to make those changes because it's time, right now. Today, it's time for us as Christians to look in the mirror and see our true self. But I think that's a little deceptive, right? And I'll explain this. I had a video, but that didn't really turn out. I told you Satan's on the prowl, right? So I'll explain that in a minute. The mirror came into play, and here's why. Before we read into James today, the video that I had explained that there's a mirror, and in that mirror, your reflection is reversed, right? So you're not really seeing your true self. The scientific explanation of how a mirror works is really in depth, but it takes the light from the room, and as you're looking into that object, the light bounces off of you, and that's what creates your reflection. So when you're looking at your reflection in the mirror, not only is it reversed, but it takes some of that light away. So I found this video, and it said that there's a true mirror. And the mirrors are put together, and they're kind of like in a diagonal thing. You can't see the seam. But when you walk up to it, your image is as other people see you. And that kind of mirror is the kind of mirror that I'm talking about today. That's the mirror of God's truth. When you look at that and you see the life, I see Ellen, and I see Stacy and Chuck, and everybody here, and I see that life, that spirit in them. That's something that's taken away in the mirror when you're looking at your flaws, right? So I was looking at that and I was thinking, what a concept. I watched that video several times, and it's really moving when you see your true reflection. People start crying. Some people don't like what they see. When I started looking into James, it was like God was pulling me out on the carpet. He was like, really? You wanted to do some self-reflection? Here, let me put it to you this way. And when I started reading that, and I'm like, don't like that. Read a little bit more. Don't like that either. Really don't like that. Why did I pick this scripture to do? You know? I wanted to give you a little bit of token today to remind you. So I have the Bible next to you. And I want you to take the token. It's a bookmark that I made. Has a cross on there, and the cross has a golden thread, and then the bookmarker in there has a little bit of a mirror on there. I wasn't going to explain it all first, but I was going to go through. The apples on there, they represent us as first fruits of our Creator, right? The mirror is always to remind us that no matter what we see in ourselves, we have to look at what God sees in us. So it's not about a mirror on the wall. It's about God's mirror of truth for us. The spiritual gifts that he gives us, how do we know what those are and how do we use those in our life? Sometimes we don't, and sometimes it takes us picking up a kazoo and just doing. Because whenever you worship the Lord, however you worship, by giving of your time, by tithing, by your gifts and talents, whether it's worship, whether it's helping somebody in need, providing food in the pantry, whatever that is. On the back side is a unit of measure. And it's kind of like you have a unit of measure, but God's love doesn't, there's no measurement for God's love, right? So that's saying you are blessed beyond measure. I put that on there because I want you to know today that every single one of you, no matter what you're going through, you are blessed beyond measure, and he's going to get us through that. There's a seal of approval on there, and it says inspired by life, created by hand, and it's a one-of-a-kind art created. And then I put God in there for you because God created each and every one of you, and you are approved. This thread is gold, like the streets of gold in heaven. And that thread is a thread of hope. And that's connected to the cross of Jesus, where he laid down his life and his blood for us. So this is a token from me to you. And I just want you to know, when you open that up, we're in the book of James. So let's read. I don't know if it's up there. James 1:17 through 27 says, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Isn't that amazing? The title of this next thing really got to me. Hearing and doing the word. Well, yeah, there's the word do. You must understand this, my beloved. He loves us so much. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in the mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in all they're doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: take care for the orphans and the widows in their distress, and keep oneself unstained by the world. Wow. That's a lot. That's just a little. I read the whole book and I was like, okay. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I felt like I had just been served the biggest pill. And now I'm expected to swallow that thing. You ever get those horse pills and you're like, how in the world do they expect me to do that? The book of James has rocked my core. It forced me to look at the mirror and evaluate myself and take inventory of those things that I was talking about, those not desirable things in myself, and I needed to create a plan of action. I need to make those changes because the time for me is now, but the time for us is now. Look at all the things that we're going through and all the pains and all the hurts. We need to be in action all the time, not just on Participation Sunday, right? When we leave here on Participation Sunday, I know some of you are going to watch the game, and others of us are going to be like stuck to this sermon, and we're going to be like, I need to do something, right? No? Okay. As I read through the whole book of James, I really just wanted to lay it all down and walk away. I made a statement that God must have heard, because I really have been yearning to fall in love with God again. I really want to trust him in every single aspect of my life. I felt my faith was slacking a bit. I find myself trying to do everything by myself, even though I think I give it to the Lord. I say I trust, I pray, I give it up to him. I'm in pain, I'm broken, and I need his help to heal me in order to change my life. And personally, I feel I truly want to change things in me because I don't like the things that I see in the mirror. And again, I'm not talking about that mirror. One can change their image to appeal to themselves or others, but that's not your true reflection. God's true mirror reflects how he sees us. He sees us. It's not important how you see me. It's important how he sees me. In God's true mirror, let's not forget what we see that we would like to change in heart and spirit, and then do. Do what it takes to make those changes. So when I expressed that I wanted to love Jesus with all that I am and to trust him, I was given this, well, how can you love me when you don't even know me? That was a hard pill to swallow. How can you trust me when you don't trust yourself and I am in you? I'm a part of you. How can you trust me when you keep pulling away from me? And I was like, wow. Wow. I've come to realize for me, and I know it's not all about me, but as Pastor Ruben says, it's not all about me, but it is, that I'm like the child with a sliver in her finger. Do you remember that? Does anybody remember getting a sliver? You know you need help getting that sliver out. You try to bite it, and you're not really trying to tell your parents what you did to get that sliver in your finger. So you really have to trust them. You have to come to them and first tell them what you did, and then they come at you with this needle. And you're like, really? Let me think this through. I think I can live with this sliver in my finger. That you can take somewhere else. But I know that my parents, I trust them and I love them. They're not going to hurt me, right? Put my finger out there and I start shaking. And they come toward me like, nope. No, no, no. That's not it. But with God, that's what I'm doing sometimes. It's like I'm hurt, right? And I know that I need help. Because I can't do it by myself. But nobody told me that it was going to be painful. Right? We want him to fix it. We want him to kiss it and make it better. That's my God. I mean, I just make it happen. I don't want to have to go through the pain that it's going to take to heal myself. And I'm not healing myself, am I? God's healing me. So I have to change my perspective a little bit. You see, God heard me. To love me is to know me. The next thing I know, I'm asked to step in here. I've made this choice to change myself, so I made sure that if I'm called, I go. So here I am. I didn't realize that this was going to be a painful process for me, that I was going to have to stand in front of that mirror of truth. I read the part about being quick to listen, being slow to speak. Hello, Jesus, do you know me? Yeah, I'm like the opposite. I'm like, that, oh my God, no, that's not right. You wait until, yeah, and then I'm like, then I have that logical moment, and I'm like, yeah, okay, well, I'm really not going to react that way, right? Let me just settle down and figure out what I'm really going to do. I have many testimonies to give. I've experienced miracles firsthand, and some of them are pretty significant. But now God is telling me to be quick to listen. I thought that was the whole thing. You're supposed to come into my life, and then I'm supposed to convey and tell people all about my happiness and the story and how Jesus has changed my life, right? And now he's telling me to be quiet? Okay, so I'm a little confused. And then you're telling me to be slow to anger? This world angers us quickly, right? I get cut off in traffic, and I'm like, whew, hold on just a second. You did not just disrespect me. Why, Lord, why did you have to pull me out onto the carpet like that? So I'm very vulnerable today in front of everyone. I'm confessing that. I've learned a lot, and I want to share that, but it's not about me. See, because now that I've done some study in the book of James, I'm convicted. Although I'm blessed beyond measure, and there's so much more to come, God keeps telling me to listen, but I'm not hearing him because I'm busy worshiping, right? I'm busy getting my set ready for next week. I'm busy serving him. As I'm supposed to, right? I should be telling people my testimonies. Because to me, that's spreading his love. I'm still feeling a little empty, and I'm being spiritually attacked left and right, and it seems endless, like rogue waves. I'm overwhelmed. This week before I did this sermon, I called several friends, a lifeline, if you will, because I was just being spiritually attacked constantly. And I didn't know if I was going to make it. just, it was brutal. But I realized that this is a process, and in order to get through this, I have to go through that pain to let God in and let him heal me. Lots of times when I'm going through these things and I'm struggling, you know, with Satan, because we're you know, wrestling on the ground, I hear God say, stop. Stop. I thought I was doing God's will, and I am, but in the process, I'm kind of taking over again, doing it myself. When I look in God's mirror of truth, I didn't like what I saw. I see I'm still broken, and I'm stepping in God's way of him healing me because I'm so busy doing, but I've lost a bit of myself in the process. Satan has crept in somehow, and my tongue sometimes, I gotta tell you, Stacy knows. Quit anger, and even when I think I'm listening, I'm preparing what I'm gonna say. Do you do that? Like, you're in an argument, and it's hot, and you're like, they're like, oh yeah, and you're gonna listen to me, okay, I'll listen to you, and you're like, got you, and you're in the whole entire time, you're thinking, I'm gonna say this, and I've gotta come back for that, and so that's not where I wanna be. That's not listening. Sometimes my anger flares, and I'm astounded. And where did that come from? Like, am I this, wow, where? How's that possible? I was just listening to the sermon, got in my car, now I'm like 2 seconds later, just went out the window. Like, how does that happen? Being cut off, no big deal, right? But sometimes when we're in that heat of the moment, it's just quick, we don't even think about it. Satan creeps in the smallest ways. For some reason it is for me, but anger doesn't produce God's righteousness, right? Okay. So Satan has crept in, and he's on the prowl. Why do I fear Jesus with that needle? But I avoid thinking about my fear of Satan trying to destroy me, to annihilate me, to kill me, to keep me from using my gifts that God has given me as his first fruit to shine for his light. Why am I just beside myself with that? I wonder how that can happen and what I can do to prepare myself. How can we prepare ourselves for spiritual warfare? We look in that mirror daily is what we do. Good, bad, and uncomfortable. Not the mirror in the morning, but the true mirror of God. It's only there that we will see our true reflections so we can work on our spiritual image and make sure that Satan hasn't crept in overnight like those whiskers that you get back in the morning. Or ladies, we're plucking our eyebrows every day. Those little hairs that grow in, that's how it creeps in. When we look in the mirror of truth, how should we process that? James encourages us in verse 25, but those who look in the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forgot, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. So remember this, we are the first fruits of our Creator. Every gift that he gives is a blessing, and we can and should always use those gifts to glorify God's name. This leads us to verse 18, and again, let this sink in. The fulfillment of his own purpose. He gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Wow. That says a lot, doesn't it? We are blessed beyond measure, right? Amen? And in those blessings, how do we know what our gifts are and when to use them? It's simple. We listen to God. And then what do? We have a course of action and we move. We move when he calls us. We move even if we fear it. Because we know that even though he's got that needle, it's okay. We're going to be okay, right? What I found the hardest to swallow in this message was verse 19. You must understand this, my beloved, that everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. That means it's already there, right? He's in us.
And he's already there. That's going to grow. But all we have to do is let him in. Right?
Amen.
Save your souls from who? Who are we saving our souls from? Yeah, exactly. The last part that I felt was a bit hard to swallow was 26 and 7. And you'll know that this is pretty much the whole thing. If any think that they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to take care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. If we look deeply at our spiritual reflection every day, we will not fail to see our flaws. Where Satan creeps up on us, and this will happen continuously, relentlessly. But also don't forget to find the beautiful soul, that beautiful spirit, and that first fruit of God in that reflection, because, boy, we are beautiful creatures. Inside and out. But me personally, I don't want people to see my nails or my hair, that I put on a little makeup today. I want people to see who I am. But I want you to see the God in me. I want that to reflect. I want people to see me and go, I know her. And yeah, he's in her. I want some of that too. Because I see that in you guys. I'm not jealous. It makes me a little jealous. I see that, and it makes me want to strive. It makes me want to change. It makes me want to do something. It makes me want to stand up in this community. It makes me want to help in any way that I can. Whiz Kids, I want to help with that. But I need to get involved, and I need to dive in, and it doesn't matter as long as I'm doing something. Doing something and glorifying God's name. I know that I need to listen to God, what God needs from me. And I'm stepping out of his way to heal me so that I can love myself. So that I can fall in love with him again. I'll be able to trust him so that I can win this spiritual battle. And I will be victorious, just like you will be victorious. I will be where God needs me to be, and by my testimony will one day hopefully reveal to someone else God's mirror of truth. Now, the title on here was Mirror, Mirror, Can You Handle the Truth? That was a big pill to swallow. It took me down for a quick minute. But I am growing every day. And I want to know, my question to you is, can you handle the truth? And what will you do? Thank you.